If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kewer.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best Thank Fuck For That moments so we can delight in how different their lives could have been.
And we're in. How are you both?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
We've all it's been like a week, I think, for all of us.
Yeah.
Last time we saw each other, we were on screens.
We were on screens.
It was virtual.
Yeah.
But now we're in person.
Yeah, can we start with Lucas's news?
Let's
start on a downer.
Well, it's not good news. Well, I never announced this publicly.
We
talked about it on the Patreon.
So let's for the public people. The PPs. I guess Patreon people is also PP. This doesn't work.
We've got too many peepees.
We've got peepees for days.
For the people who haven't heard this, Lucas was going to move in with Noelle, which was very exciting.
Yes.
They were going to live on a boat.
Oh,
and Sarah and I were very excited because we were going to become captains of a ship.
We were going to do an episode with wine. Did you?
No, I didn't buy a hat.
Well, then it's fine.
Yeah.
Then there's no bad news.
But we were going to do an episode on the boat.
We were going to do an episode on the boat.
And this one fell through, but who knows? There might be another one. This is a good incentive to find something else, I think.
Basically,
the lady sold the boat.
Yeah.
I know.
Right from under your noses?
Yeah.
Oh, she sounds like a pirate.
I mean, she did tell me. Wow. Maybe she is. But no, she did. It's fair enough because you kind of have to take an offer like that.
What was the offer?
Was it a good offer?
It was £1 million.
Can we double it? We're going.
Wait, it was an offer?
You don't understand. We were going to do a Patreon episode on your boat. We'll give you all our Patreon money for 1 month. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm sorry, Lucas.
That's all right. Stuff happens with that housing.
I thought you looked a bit blue when I came in.
No, that's
not just because of the shirt.
Oh, shit.
That's just the shirt.
He's wearing a blue shirt, everybody.
Everybody, yeah. Come on.
That's the kind of content you can expect in this podcast.
Visual-based comedy.
Yeah.
On a podcast.
Really good.
Already, this is such terrible podcast.
You don't know how funny that was because Lucas is wearing a blue shirt.
Guys, you had to be there.
Every visual gag would be explained. Wonderful. But that's fine because you know what? You need something in life to like, you know, be like, it goes down and then you're like,
you know what they say?
We started from the bottom, now we up.
Lose a boat, find a mansion.
Yes. Clues about find a mansion. Sorry, that's I was struggling phrase. For words there, but that's Sarah, the thank phrase. You. That's exactly what I meant.
Yeah, I've heard that before, I think.
Absolutely.
Clues about find a mansion.
Give it a couple of days.
I found a mansion. What? I was playing basketball.
Okay.
This sounds like the start of like a teen movie from like the 90s.
It
like,
was.
I was shooting hoop.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised.
I was shooting hoop. And I was basically, Patrick started playing basketball and I joined him.
Could you call this a midlife crisis, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I mean for both of you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think LeBron was your age when he started.
Oh, you got to start in your 30s, guys.
You know, it's one of those things. You can never. Yeah. It's never too late.
I am not good. Surprise.
Wow. Gosh. I thought you were going to say something completely different.
But Patrick is also not good.
Oh, really?
So, but well, he's better than so how bad I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is practicing a lot because Patrick's one of those people who will find a project, cling on, and then go absolutely mental for a while.
Yeah.
So he's really.
Do you play one on one?
Well, so he was at the court doing his dribble drills, and
triple drills.
He was dribbling.
And I joined him on the court. And then there was this guy who was on the court next to it. And he challenged Patrick to a one-on-one. That was before I got there. It wasn't like he challenged Patrick.
Was it for your love?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I was like, hey.
That's literally a scene in One Tree Hill, isn't it?
It's like, I think so.
If I win, you don't go on the team. If you win, you get her.
Yeah. Is that the actual lines?
I'm pretty confident that
the main character in that was called Lucas.
I've never seen it. What's this movie called? One Tree Hill.
Movie.
Oh, my baby boy.
I call it a movie? I would say there's about 100 hours of One Tree
Hill. Yeah, there's 100 movies.
Yeah. Oh. It's a TV show.
From when?
We're talking late 90s, noughties.
Must be noughties.
Yeah.
I feel like I was a teenager.
Was it British? American?
American.
Basketball.
Chad Michael Murray.
Maybe
the most American name.
Lucas.
Sophia Bush.
I mean, Sophia Bush, listen, and this is, again, the straightest girl experience you could have, but she is so sexy. And
she is so sexy.
She's so sexy I think as a child, I was like, am I? Just from Sophia Bush.
She's so confusing.
It's
like, you're like,
and today still.
She's dating a woman now.
I know, saw that. She got married and then her marriage like ended after like a year and a half. But then they were both really like courteous about it. So I was like, what happened there? Mm. She's dating a woman.
I considered throwing a house party when I found out that Sophia Bush was dating a woman.
Right?
I was like, I think we need to commemorate this.
I mean, she's from the football team, no?
A big scandal. She's from the American women's football team.
Well.
Because she was married and had children with another member of that football team.
Oh.
So actually, there is some controversy that potentially, I think her name's Ali, cheated on her wife with Sophia Bush.
This is a sitcom in itself.
Listen.
Oh, but you would, wouldn't you?
Listen, it's straight from One Tree Hill.
I would cheat on all of my wives with Sophia Bush.
I would.
Yeah.
I
don't
hot.
Have any wives. She's so hot.
She's so
have you seen
hot.
John Tucker Must Die?
Listen.
Oh, good. There's a brief lesbian kiss in John Tucker Must Die. I think I watched that film when I was maybe about 14 years old. Oh. And I exploded in the cinema.
Yeah.
I melted into a
you
small
came
puddle.
Right there.
They had to like brush me out at the end with the popcorn.
The thing that you have to understand is like she has a smoky voice.
She's so husky.
She's really husky.
And she plays the
even
most sexual character
like,
in
even when
all
she was
of
18.
The yeah, and she's just so sexually free.
Also, she can do that thing with her eyebrow.
That's
you can do it.
She does that. Sexy. And she's got like a mole, but in a perfect position.
Sexy mole.
A sexy
mole. A beauty spot.
Yeah.
She's the sexiest woman alive.
I think so.
We've
solved it.
We've solved it. Anyway, One Tree Hill. I was living out my One Tree Hill life.
Yeah, you were.
Out on the courts. And then, this guy challenged Patrick. And this guy just wiped the floor with Patrick.
Oh, that's so mean.
Oh, wow.
Patrick was like, he was like, so how long have you been playing basketball? This guy was 48. He'd been playing since he was 12.
Oh, no.
And Patrick was like, Yeah, me too. I mean, 3 months.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but it was great.
That's really funny. So are you moving in with him now?
This man has won. Yeah, of course. He has won me.
He just takes you home. Goodbye, Patrick.
His name is Marco. He's from Barcelona.
Oh, what a nice life you could have.
I mean, it was all great.
I bet he does that all the time. He just goes up to random people and duels them and then wipes the floor.
It was a duel. It was a duel. Anyway, and then we walked back, Patrick and I. Okay, spoiler. Patrick took me home. I didn't go home with Marco. Guys, I'm sorry.
Did you at least get his number?
Can we edit that out?
Guys, we walked home.
Okay.
And out of nowhere, there were just like these, this is like in Streatham area. And out of nowhere, there were just these beautiful mansions. I just couldn't believe. I was like, why are these here? It was like that kind of red brick. Do you know those red brick? And then it's, you know, kind of like, I think it's like 1930s design. It's like
what
kind
of Art
Deco.
What bit of Streatham are we talking?
On the hill in between Tulse Hill and Streatham.
Oh, I don't think
we walked up, and then these houses also have like a beautiful view of the city. I was like, "Where is this?
Who lives here?
Where am I?"
I felt like I'd walked into like a magical land.
Did you throw your ball in their yard and then knock on the door? Like,
of course.
Excuse me, Mister. My ball went in your yard.
Of course.
Mind if I have a poke around?
My basketball went in your yard. Yeah. Yeah,
great stuff.
Thank you. That wasn't even one of the stories I was going to tell you.
Hey, but
my new basketball life.
It's cool. It's really so. You found a mansion, but did you lose a boat?
Oh, no, I did not.
Oh,
well,
did you find Lucas's mansion?
Sorry,
oh, Lucas.
Oh no, Lucas, you're not going to find a mansion.
Oh, no,
I did it.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Can you give me one spare room in your 9-bedroom mansion?
Well, listen, it turns out that when you find a mansion, it doesn't necessarily mean it's your mansion. That's what we've learned from my story.
Mm. Oh,
I was
going to
tell you, the thing I was going to tell you was I went to see Julia Masley's show.
That's the name of her show, by the way. The name of her show is Ha Ha Ha. I wasn't just like, that's pathetic. That
have either of you seen it?
I saw it in Edinburgh.
Right.
Very good.
Very good.
I didn't have the chance to see it.
It's very good. And the concept of the show, for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Julia Masley is a clown.
She's a clown.
She's a clown.
And she solves people's problems in the show.
It's so good.
It's very good. She goes up to people and she says, problem. And then...
She's got a microphone on the end of a mannequin leg.
Yes.
She's very spooky looking.
She's very spooky. It's wonderful. It's just a beautiful, amazing show. Mm-hmm. I went to see it with a friend of mine who said, listen, I've got Julia Masley tickets. He told me only 30 minutes before the show started that he got front row seat.
So you're in it. You're in the show.
You're on the stage.
Yeah. Like, was it downstairs in the cabaret?
It was in the middle room.
Oh, the
at
big
Soho
one.
Theater, which is a really big. It's
you
got
are
great
on the stage.
Seating.
Yeah.
And the front seats are like seats that are not even like part of the. They're like wooden seats.
Yeah.
You're on the stage. This room is filled with other comedians as well because like it's all people who like want to see
Julia Masley's show was nominated for the main award in Edinburgh.
Yes.
And when these shows come to Soho Theatre, it is basically like a lot of it is audience members going, we've heard the show is amazing in Edinburgh, and then I'd say 30% is comedians going,
oh, they're comedians.
I need to know how she did it.
Other comedians.
How did she do what she did?
Yeah. Other comedians there to learn.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? And then I just, the whole time, I was so uncomfortable because I was just like, I don't want anyone to think that I'm like so like desperate for like stage time that I want to be in shows even when it's not mine.
You go up with your own microphone.
Yes. I'm like, I've heard this audience participation in this.
Yes. My problem.
Please let me participate.
My problem is I want to know if anyone's drinking tonight.
It really made me feel uncomfortable. I was saying to my friend, like, why have you done this? And why would you invite me to this?
Oh, my God.
It was just the worst.
I saw it in Edinburgh and I was sat quite far back, but she came out into the audience. She was literally walking through the audience, so picking people from wherever. And it's the first time in years that I've ever, partially because I've never met her, so I don't think she knows who I am, but like often I'll go and see shows and I'll be like, there is no way anybody's coming to talk to me. It's the first time in years that I've been like, please don't pick on me. Please do not pick on me. I do not want to be chosen. I don't want to be involved.
Me too.
I used to go and watch comedy shows like that and sit there and go, oh my God, please don't even look at me. Don't even know I exist. And it's the first time I've experienced that in like a decade.
Yeah.
It was mad.
It is so... So basically then I was just sat there so uncomfortable. But then she picked on my friend.
Yes. Yes.
Which was great because...
Revenge.
One, revenge. And two, I was like, I don't think she'll pick the person next. Mm-hmm. To him, like she is gonna spread out. So then I could relax and enjoy the show, which was absolutely amazing.
Did people give good problems?
I think I saw a lighthearted one.
Yeah.
So I've heard stories of people saying really profound things happened. Mm-hmm. There was no like profundity in our one. It was just really funny, and
yeah.
Hey, I didn't mind that. That was great.
It's really clever. What she does, and also yeah. She's got such clever souls, because obviously like a lot of people will go like they'll just say something like, my drink's empty. Mm-hmm. And then so when I saw it in Edinburgh, I think somebody said my drink's empty, and then she said to someone at the back of the room, go and get him a drink.
Yeah.
And then like four people came in with bottles of Prosecco. And they start pouring everybody a drink of Prosecco. Like, that's, it's just so funny. Like, she's obviously got these, like, I know what some of the standard, like somebody said they were too hot, so she tied a fan to him on the stage.
Yeah, yeah, she's got the set pieces.
Yeah, which is so good. But like, when I saw it, this woman was like, I don't know whether or not I want to date women, but I'm in a relationship with a man and I'm confused. Like, well, I think the first thing she said was like, sexuality is confusing. And mm-hmm. then she like asked her more questions. And it turned out that this woman was there with her boyfriend, her partner. And so she turned to her boyfriend and said, well, what do you think about this? And he was like, well, this is a massive part of her identity. And I just feel strongly that she should be able to explore every part of herself. So if it's important to her, it's important to me.
Yeah.
And it's just
like...
He was
just angling for a threesome.
Probably.
But it's like... She was like, hey,
it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you're just watching these two people have like a really profound conversation.
Couples therapy.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
In this room.
And she didn't have a
set piece
for that.
Whilst this guy's on stage with a fan tied to him.
Yeah.
Like, aww.
Yeah.
It's mad.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Guys, by the way, if anyone is London based, there is... She just got it extended for another week, I think. So I think if you are a comedy fan, go and see it, because it really is something quite special.
It's very, yeah. It's like a once in a lifetime experience, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. It's just, and I couldn't see it in Edinburgh because at 1 a.m, I was actually asleep.
It's past your bedtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is way past my bedtime.
I went to go and see.
What's your problem, Mickey? I'm really tired.
I would have been so sleepy.
But she did. Somebody said I'm tired during the show that I saw. And then she got them on stage, got a pillow out,
yeah,
and put a blanket on them and said,
well,
you go to sleep, go to sleep. And they're just in the middle of the stage with a blanket on them.
Well, I think probably in Edinburgh she had a couple of set pieces that were either about heat or
being
tired, because she was at 1 in the morning. But I just, you know, I just could not. 1 in the morning, guys.
When I got asked if I wanted to go, I was like, yes. And then I found out the time and I was like, Ooh.
Ooh.
You've misread
well,
who I am.
Well, especially for you.
Because my show was at midday.
Because your show was at midday.
Mm. Oh, God. Very grumpy boy the next day.
You must have been such a grumpy boy.
Mm, yeah. Threw my toys out the pram.
Any clips from that show?
No. No. No clippies from that show.
Nothing from when you were a grumpy boy.
One vault show of me crying.
Yeah.
Never see the light of day. You don't know how late I stayed out last night.
So that was my story. That's the one I brought to this podcast. Julia
Very Masley. Good. Very good. What was your friend's problem?
Loneliness.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But you were offended.
No.
You're like, I'm right here.
No. I was not offended. I was like, I know. I have no time for you. This is, we're doing this now and
why
never
did you
again.
Bring me here?
No, I just think he was like, it was funny because it was like we were talking about it beforehand of you know, what to do about feeling lonely and stuff like that. And then he was like, then he told me that we were front row, and he was like, you know what, if she picks on me, then I'll just say that. And I was like, yeah, that's a really good problem.
Yeah, yeah. What did she do?
She tied him to other people on the set.
That's funny.
But it was really very great because she kept on like coming back to him. So yeah. First, she just kind of left it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she was talking to other people and then she brought those people in and then taped them all together on the stage.
Yeah, very good.
It's just wonderful.
Very good.
It's wonderful. And well, he was very good as well. He was like very, yes-anding and...
Lovely. Love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
You know, he knew what he was doing, because also, like, if you don't,
you were prepping
if you don't...
him on the improv basics beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think he was a comic as well. He knew,
oh, okay.
but I think if you don't yes and her, it doesn't end well for you.
No.
I don't want to give any more spoilers in case anyone wants
no
to go
spoilies,
see it.
No spoilers.
Exciting. I'll try and see that.
Yeah, please go and see it.
I will.
My news. You want my news?
Yeah.
A story of triumph.
Oh!
Yay.
Finally.
I went to Edinburgh this weekend to do some gigs.
Yeah.
Right. And Louisa came with me because
I saw that.
That's the only way we can socialise.
Pet a dog.
We pet a dog. We did. All weekend. 3 days. That poor dog. Hairless by the end. So
story of triumph. Yes. The dog did not survive.
I pulled all the hair out of the dog. Awful. No. So, but I went on Thursday morning and Louisa joined me on Thursday night, so I arrived before her. And we booked like what we were like, we're gonna book at like a nice hotel and try and make a weekend out of it. What we didn't know was the hotel was being refurbed, so that's why it was affordable for us. So I arrive.
No fab.
It's a construction site.
Yeah, no fab.
Yeah, I'm like, excuse me, why did I pay anything for this?
Yeah.
And so they're like, really, you know, they had emailed me about it, but
inside was a construction site.
The lobby was closed, basically. The restaurant was closed, so they were doing breakfast in the bar on the foot. Anyway, it just...
There was someone in your room doing some carpeting.
So they show me to the room. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't show me to the room. They give me my key card. I'm not being shown to the room. It's not that nice. And they've put us in one of the old rooms, and it's not very nice. Not very nice room.
No, because it needs to be refurbed.
It needs to be refurbed. Mm. It's like, it was one of those hotel rooms where you're like, I know that this was once nice, but like... There's no plugs anywhere. There's like two little plugs. I'm like, there's no plugs next to the bed, which is so annoying in a hotel room. Everything feels a little bit faded. It didn't feel super clean. So I was like, this is kind of disappointing. And then, I go for a wee. I sit down. I look down. Bathroom floor. Piece of chewing gum. Trodden into the bathroom floor.
Perfect.
Everything I could have possibly wished for. I'm up. Pants up. Downstairs.
Did you finish your pee?
No.
What?
I kept peeing. all the way downstairs. And so I went upstairs. I went, there's pee all over my bathroom floor. No. Finish the wee. Trousers up.
Trousers up.
Shoes back on.
Shit.
No, I didn't shit. No, I didn't need to shit. But I go downstairs. I've walked out. I'm like composing myself as I'm going down. I go downstairs and I'm like, excuse me, I've just arrived and there's a piece of chewing gum trodden into my bathroom floor. Made up a little lie, said I stood in it, didn't, but thought that's a bit of flavour, isn't it?
Yeah.
A bit of spice to this story.
Yeah.
This guy, he's so bitchy to me, but it was really funny and I really respected it because obviously he knows they're fucked. But I went, I stood in it and he went, oh my God, are you okay?
What a hero.
So I had to rally and be like, I'm absolutely fine, but it doesn't make me feel like the room's very clean. And he was like, of course. Upgraded us. One of the new refurb rooms. I think we were the first two people to stay in this hotel room.
Yes.
Ever. Everything
Sully
felt
it.
Brand. Oh
Sully
my
it.
God, I shat everywhere.
Then you shat.
Oh,
yeah.
I'd been saving.
Then you shat.
Oh, all over the walls. I was like, you want to see a refurb? No. Horrible. We get a lovely new room.
Oh my God.
And free breakfast every morning.
Yes.
Every morning.
Oh my God, wow. I am okay.
Oh my God. I thought your life was going terribly.
Oh, no. One bright spot in an ocean of darkness.
That is a story of triumph.
Oh, my God.
Thank God for
that
rogue piece
so
of chewing
much.
Gum.
Rogue, I'm tempted to take pre-chewed chewing gum in a little sealed bag with me everywhere I go now.
I love this guy, though. I love this reception guy.
Mm. Yeah, very funny. Credit to him.
Yeah, this reception guy is very funny. And as someone who's worked reception, but I worked reception in a hostel.
Ooh, yeah.
That's the funniest when people complain. Mm-hmm. When people complain in a hostel, you're like, you're in a hostel. Yeah.
Where did you think you were coming tonight?
And it's also like, they're like, oh, this is the problem with the room. It's like, yeah, because there's three other people in it.
Yeah.
The problem is not the room. The problem is the people.
The problem is this is a hostel.
You should be lucky there's only three people in.
Yeah.
I stayed in a room with 30 people in.
Yeah,
we were a pretty classy hostel.
Yeah, that sounds great.
We had only four-person rooms.
Wow.
And if you wanted a co-ed room, which was possible, you needed to be with two people.
What's a co-ed room?
So, like, co-ed. So, like, men and women, gender, together.
Oh, I don't believe in any of that stuff.
No, obviously.
No, okay. All right, so if you wanted to have a mixed room, there would have to be at least three of you?
No, you had to be in even pairs. Basically, to stop a bunch of dudes being like, go ahead,
women.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's really classy for a hostel, actually.
It was actually very classy. Yeah. Safety first.
Oh, who knew?
Who knew? In a hostel?
Wow.
In a hostel?
Very modern.
It was very modern.
I've not stayed in many forward-thinking hostels. The one I stayed in, they had triple bunk beds. So there was three layers of bunk.
Oh my God.
It was like a sandwich and I was the meat in the middle.
Oh, being in the middle
must
be horrible.
And there was two pieces of bread above and above. Yeah, it was weird. It was pretty bad anyway. Whichever sleeping arrangement would have been bad.
Because
there were 30 people in the room.
Whoa!
So there's 10 of these triple bunks.
10 triple bunks, yeah.
Fucking
quick maths.
Hell, man.
That's
a lot of meat.
Quick maths. How little do you think of Sarah?
It was just pretty quick.
It was real quick.
It wasn't impressive, but it was quick.
No, but
it doesn't have to be impressive. It just has to be quick.
It's
to
okay.
Be quick maths.
It's okay if he's impressed.
Yeah.
He's not impressed.
You don't find me impressive?
He can't possibly be impressed.
It was quick maths.
By dividing 30.3.
Timesing, actually, Mickey. I timesed.
Why did you times? He said there's 30. He said there's 30 people in a room.
You divided to get the reverse.
Yeah.
Of timesing.
I don't know what I did, but I got it right.
Yeah.
Okay.
God.
Who are you?
I can't believe you made it less impressive.
Who are you? An invigilator?
You're like Goodwill Hunting.
Show your fucking work.
You're like, I don't know how, but I did it.
I just knew. I just knew, Mickey. I didn't have to sit around working it out.
If I was a maths teacher, you would not be getting any good marks for that because you need to show how you did the problem.
My brain is a calculator.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm Matilda.
No.
I'm Matilda.
Zero. 0 points to Gryffindor.
Fucking hell.
I want to say that that is disgusting. I don't know if I could sleep with 30 other people in a room.
Yeah, I struggled. But it was during Fringe, so I would go back to the hostel quite late. And then have to try and crawl into the bunk.
Wait, you without did this waking all Fringe?
Up. For a month?
No, just for 5 days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
my God.
Yeah. No, that would
really
be crazy. This was the year before last.
Oh, okay.
When I just
were
came
you
up
alone?
For a few days. Yeah.
So you were just a single entity and
single man in a hostel.
Eesh. In a mass.
Yeah.
A mass of people.
I made some friends in the hostel. It was okay, actually.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Our hostel had people living there. They liked it so much.
Forever?
They just lived there for like a year.
Yeah.
Ooh, creepy.
My old roommate did that and he worked in a hostel for a year and lived there in New Zealand.
One
also called Marco, not from Barcelona.
Oh my God, we got to get a third Marco in here.
Mine was called Leo, German Leo. And he worked in the hostel and he lived there with three other German boys who didn't work there.
Oh, lovely.
It was lovely.
Really nice. Where are you now, Leo?
They were my little Berlin.
Leo, write in.
But he doesn't need to. I know where he is.
Write in, Leo. Write to me.
Send me a letter.
Let me know where you are.
I saw him a couple of years ago, which was really nice because I went to do a show in Berlin and then he came. I know, it was really nice.
That's really nice.
Yeah,
and is
he
still living in a hostel?
I assume so.
Yeah.
I assume so. No growth for Leo.
No, I doubt. I think Leo is frozen in time in my mind. He'll always be that boy to me.
All right.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, we've done this beautiful story of triumph.
That's my news.
I have a fun story of failure.
Ooh.
For contrast.
Man, we know how to balance this podcast.
Life is all about balance, guys. Mm. Mm-hmm. I also went out of London this week. I went to Brighton for a gig on Tuesday. I was doing a new comedian competition. Didn't get through, but anyway, it was a nice time.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
I didn't know what they were missing. I was on last as well, so I was really stressed the whole time.
You were in the boobies position. Mm.
The what?
The boobies position.
What is that?
Like it's a trap.
Oh.
That's what they say.
Well, say
I was gonna
again.
Say if it's boobies, that's great.
Oh no, single boobie. One boobie.
One boob. Uniboob.
Uniboob.
I see.
Oh. Ah. And finally, to close the show, your uniboob for tonight. Luke. Ride him off completely. It's just the uniboob.
I was like, I don't know what that is, guys, but thank you for having
me. I'll tell you what. Those competitions, they're really... Like, where you are in the lineup makes such a difference.
First and last is awful.
It's awful. Mm. I was first in one of mine. And it was just... I was just like... But I kind of felt like, I can't win this.
Yeah.
Who cares now?
I did one once where I don't know how many of us there were, like 10 or 12 of us. I went on, then another guy went on, and then they had an interval.
Why?
I don't know. And then they did the other 8 people.
What?
So everybody just forgot that we were in it.
That's so funny.
We were just completely, like, not even regarded. Like, it just was like, oh, this is a separate evening.
That's so funny.
It was so stupid.
I met Patrick. At like one of those competitions. That was the first time I ever saw him.
No Which way. One?
It was Leicester Square New Comedian. It was one of the heats.
Oh my god! So if you guys ever like got married or anything, you'd have to do it at Leicester Square New Comedian.
Obviously,
you'd have to do it during one of the heats.
I don't know if we met though. I just remember like that's the first time I saw him.
Oh man!
And he was he was like he brought like people. You know, because you bring people.
Oh,
to,
you
like,
have to bring people.
To support you.
That's the only way you win.
And I was with a friend of mine at the time. And my friend was like, who the fuck is this guy? And why has he brought so many people?
Oh,
and
I would have. I was yeah, probably your friend.
Obviously.
Like,
yeah. I was just. And I was like, because he wants to get. He's being smart about it. He wants to get through.
Yeah.
And then I obviously had never seen him before. And I just remember thinking like, he's. This guy's good.
Mm.
And then, but my friend was just bitching about him the whole time.
Yeah, so fair. I'm with the friend.
Just bitching about him the whole time. Just like, this guy. And then when Patrick got through, he was like, it was just because he brought these people.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I was like,
yeah, yeah.
I just remember thinking like, what's happening right now? Like, he's clearly good. He's fine.
Yeah, but you would say that because you fancied him.
But did I fancy him? I guess so. I don't remember that though.
You would say that. You were blinded. You were blinded by fancy.
I don't think
you couldn't even notice that he'd bought friends. You just saw him.
You had all the fancy in your eyes.
Isn't it weird though? Would you think about this? Like, because I knew Patrick or like knew of him for like a long time before like we fell in love.
Yeah.
I don't remember fancying him, but I must have.
I remember fancying him.
I remember it. Clear as day.
I don't remember it.
The Leicester Square.
It was, yeah.
I don't remember it, but
he invited me along to support him.
There's some very telling evidence, though.
That you fancied him?
Well, afterwards, like now, when I look back, there were like two people who were like, "Are you going to date Patrick Spice?" And I was like, I must have.
Yeah, yeah.
Without realizing.
We're going to find the picture of like, you know, they take a photo of all the acts in the heat.
It's just me.
And you're like twirling your hair.
So you were in this heat.
Yes. So we struggled to get down there because it was a train strike.
Oh,
so
we had to get. You can't get there.
So we had to get the coach. To get the coach, spent £18 on a coach, which is way too much for a coach.
This really is a story of failure.
Yeah. This is just the beginning. This is before we even got there.
Oh my God.
This is the prelude. So we got down there. It was a fine journey. We got there, did the heat, whatever. Next day, we spent the day in Brighton because Noel had never been to Brighton. We did various touristy things. It started raining on the pier. And I was like, this is most British seaside towns.
Yeah, 100%.
She was like, it has a weird vibe. And I was like, it's because it's not summer. And she's always, and I was like, it's nicer in the summer. It's nicer in the summer. But it was nice there as well.
As it was raining on the pier in the dead of winter, she was like, the vibe is off.
Yeah.
Okay, in a while. Come on.
And we were eating fish and chips and donuts. She was like, something doesn't feel right.
Give us a chance, Noel.
Where are the people?
Come on, Noel.
No one's sunbathing. It's the beach. It's because it's stones.
Where's the volleyball?
Wow. Noel?
No, it's me.
Oh, my God.
It's me, Noel.
And then about five, we were like, we should probably go home. So we got on the train at five.
Nice.
Oh, no.
We then stopped outside, maybe 10 minutes into our train journey, stopped 10 minutes outside Brighton.
Here we go.
And they were like, listen, guys, we've had to stop the train. I missed the first like half an hour of this because I just had my headphones in and Noel was asleep for half an hour. So we were just sat there. The train was stopped. Pretty standard if you're on a train. And I was there's been strikes.
No cause for concern.
There's been strikes. And so I was like, there's probably just delays. So after half an hour, I noticed everyone was looking around and like waiting for the announcement. So I was like, I should probably listen what's going on. So I took my headphones out. And then the train guy was like, yeah, so basically someone's on the tracks and we can't find him. And we're going to have to try and call the law enforcement or someone's going to have to try and find him. But we'll let you guys know. We'll let you know. Until then, we're just going to sit here. And so we just sat there, you know. Our phone was also dead. My phone had died by this point. So me and Noelle were just chatting now. She'd woken up from her nap. Maybe about an hour waiting. Everyone started getting pretty antsy.
Mm. Your phone had died?
Yeah. There's no plugs on this tube as well, on this train as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a Thames link. I'll set the scene. The worst one to be stuck on.
The seats suck.
They're too close together. There's no plugs. There's no tables.
There's no armrests. Why is nobody talking about the armrests?
My arms were really tired. They could have done with some rest. Mm. About an hour in, they were like, then he came on.
I'm sorry. I do think it's really funny how both Sarah and I, as soon as you said Thames Link, were just like, the story is the worst.
Oh my God.
Well, you'll know if you've been on a Thames Link train. Yeah. They're not built for comfort. They're built for efficiency and speed.
But they don't do that either.
No.
They're not. No, this one wasn't going anywhere. So about an hour in,
they're
he was like...
built to upset people.
Mm.
Yeah. And we were very upset. People were getting more and more upset. Yeah, so about an hour in, he was like, okay, so they found the guy. No. They haven't found the guy. They're looking for the guy. Yeah. We've now got people looking at this point, and now they're trying to find him. He could be anywhere. And I was like, he's just going to walk past the train.
Yeah,
that would be so funny.
Oh, he's just gonna wave in, and everyone would get mad. And then he was like, "Also, we are running on batteries right now, and we have about half an hour left of power." And he said this bit. He said this bit right at the end. He tagged it on because he knew that everyone was really pissed already. So he was like, "He also we're running on a battery, and it'll last about 30 minutes. So we'll keep you updated."
These fucking trains.
Yeah.
It just feels like...
the cheek of it.
Battery is not the way to go, is it?
This was just for the lights and the heating on the tube. So they had to... on the train. So that's how we were on. Like, that's how the lights were still on.
So the lights go off.
So funny.
Yeah, and at this point, everyone started getting very annoyed.
Yeah, of course.
Fuck.
And so we were waiting there, sitting still. He was keep telling us. He was like, so they're looking for the guy. They still haven't found him. 15 minutes left. every time he come with how much time is left.
That's so funny.
And then eventually he was like, good news, guys. They found the guy. they've talked him off the tracks. Apparently he was a very disturbed guy and he was telling us all of this. I was like, don't tell us this. You're bringing the mood down. Just tell us that.
Yeah, we want to be angry.
Yeah. No, we're not angry, but like, we just.
He was telling you though because people were angry. That's why he was telling you.
I guess, but he could just be like, they've dealt with it and he's off the tracks.
But then people would be like, why did it take so long?
I suppose.
Like, if it's like a disturbed person, people are going to be like, oh, that's good, actually. They're going to be sympathetic. Really good.
Yeah.
We love Thameslink.
Mm.
Thameslink are our hero. Mental health activist.
Way to go, Thameslink.
Way to go, Thameslink.
I don't think Thameslink had anything to do with the guy. He
fuck
was,
you, Thameslink. Fuck you, Thameslink. I'm better angry.
They were just relaying the information. So,
I'm glad that that was the result of that.
So he said he was like, so we're going to get moving soon, hopefully. Also, the light's going to turn off in 2 minutes. So just be ready for that. And at this point, me and Noah was playing cards. Oh. And we were like, oh, we're not going to be able to play cards.
Oh.
And so the lights went.
What is happening? I don't understand why your phone was dead.
Because it was on
my
battery. Where
is your external charger?
I don't have one.
Get one immediately.
Have you learned a lesson?
I have.
Have you learned a lesson?
I just want to say that my external charger has saved me so many times.
Yeah.
And as a comedian and you're constantly traveling, you can't do without it.
It was foolish. But to be fair, I didn't know it was a Thameslink train and
they're
I assumed there would be plugs.
£16 now on, like, online. Like, you can get, it's not expensive. I will get you one.
Yeah. We figured out right at the end that we could charge our phones a little bit off my laptop by plugging my phone into my laptop. I had a little bit of charge at the end, but it was just for emergencies.
Okay, I'm getting you this thing.
So I could, I need one.
The tricky thing is that you have to remember to charge them. They take so long to charge.
They do take forever.
No, these new ones don't.
Really?
I had an old one and
the
I was
technology
really...
has come so far, Sarah.
It actually has.
Maybe I need to upgrade.
When I bought my last one, it was super heavy.
What gram?
It was £80.
Yeah.
This was
years ago. And
it had a crank. It was oil.
But it was amazing. Like, one, and it charged really slow.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is what external chargers are like. You know, they add £50 to your backpack. It's just what I have to deal with.
Oh my God, do they not have to add £50 to your backpack?
They don't. So I lost mine at a comedy club. And I was so upset and I like called the like, oh, like I really tried to like get it back. I was like, I don't have £80 to spend. And then I was like, man, okay, well, I'm going to have to get a new one. And then I was like, none of them cost £80. I couldn't even find an £80 one if I tried.
Take my money.
Yeah. And so I was like, are these good? And I looked at all the reviews and stuff because it was like £16. And I was like, is that good? But the technology just has gone
so much
better.
You're going to have to share a link.
They're just
share the love.
They're light.
Share a link with us and our listeners.
Mm.
They're going to be gagging for this information.
I'm going to, you guys. It's so good. It charges so quickly. It's just wonderful.
Is this the most boring podcast?
Okay. I can turn it around.
A lot of battery.
I can turn it around. I have a story that's more fun than get an external.
I didn't finish.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. There's only a little bit left. There's only one little bit I wanted to tell you because so the lights went off. And then, but there was like one light, so it was like really dark. It was like dim, but you could still see, so we could still play cards. And then the lights came back on. They were like, we got power back on. We're going to start moving soon. This was it. So the announcer who made that was a woman. Like, it was a different voice.
Gross.
And everyone was like, who's this person? Because for the whole 2 hours, this was 2.5 hours we were stuck on the tracks for a total.
Oh God,
it had been this guy. Like this announcer, and then suddenly this lady was here.
Oh my God, was it the comedian that got through?
Yeah.
We're going to give her the mic for a bit.
And someone behind me went, we've been on the track so long that they've transitioned.
Oh man.
It was in Brighton, so I think it wasn't like a weird joke.
A transphobic joke.
No, that's what I thought, but then I was like, it was a young guy from Brighton, and I was like,
he's probably gay.
Probably just trying to be funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then,
probably a homo.
Yeah. So everyone was...
Can you describe what he was wearing?
Yeah.
Was it hot pants?
It was hot pants.
I was into it.
And everyone was very excited because we had this new tube. We had this new announcer. The lights were back on. And we were like, yeah, we're going to get going. And then all the lights went out.
Oh,
so it was
no.
completely pitch black for like 2 minutes. And then it was like bedlam. Like, everyone was like, what's going on? Like, it was like...
Oh, this is horrible.
Yeah. And then after that, we started moving.
Oh, okay.
Very slowly. But they were like, guys, we can't take it all the way to London. You're going to have to change at Gatwick. Everyone got off at Gatwick.
Those bastards.
And then we had to get another train to Victoria. And then me and Noah were like, we need to get very drunk right now.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes,
so we went to the Spoons. And we were also really hungry because we hadn't eaten in like four or five hours. We went to the Spoons and then the kitchen was closed.
No.
Both, there's two Wetherspoons at Victoria and both of them were, the kitchen was closed.
Yeah.
So we had to go somewhere
else. It's almost as if they don't really care about the food.
No. It's almost as if it's not a very well-run establishment.
No, Mickey, don't say that about Wetherspoons.
What about the burgers?
They're trying very hard.
They microwave those meals for as long as they
really
need to.
Do.
Those Curry Tuesdays are happening.
They're every Tuesday.
Yeah, and you can't fault them for that.
You can't fault them. It's once a week. So we had to go somewhere else.
I'm so upset for you. It's too long. That's too long.
Probably the worst tube journey, a train journey I've ever had.
Really? Did you hear about just before Christmas when everyone got stuck on the Lizzie line?
Yeah, for an hour.
Matt Crockett, you know the photographer Matt Crockett?
Yeah.
He got stuck in it.
Did he do your photos?
He did my photos the next day.
Yeah.
So he was telling me about it next
day. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. So he was like telling us all about how like people were peeing. Pee-peeing.
You what?
Public posting. Like, no, they were like, they were there for so long that people were like peeing and, I don't know why I'm whispering this information.
They were peeing on the Lizzie line.
Peeing and
pooping?
Pooping. On the
people were pooping? After an hour?
On the Queen's line. It wasn't like an hour. It was for a long time.
It was after 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, immediately. Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
I think that's a bit in, like, The American Office where, like, Dwight and what's Jenna Fisher's character? Pam. They're stuck in the elevator. And, like, she's like, oh, we're stuck. And then he immediately starts peeing. And he's like, we have to establish a pee corner. She's like, we haven't even been in here for 5 minutes.
That's funny. Luckily, there was a toilet on this train.
That's honestly, it
was being used. I used it.
Yeah,
there was nothing else to do.
No,
it was the entertainment.
What I wanted to tell you, based on this story, was this reminded me of when I went to Italy for Christmas, and when we got into customs, we walked from the plane into customs. There was a bit of a queue. Like we walked in. And there wasn't an immediate, like, through way. Like, it was like, you know, you walk into, like, you're adding to, like, a crowd of people.
Yeah.
The Italian woman next to me could not have been more of an Italian cliche. It was so amazing. We walked in there and, like, immediately she went, oh! And then she rapid fire started talking to me, very annoyed in Italian. Mm. And I was like, "Oh, I'm scusi, I don't speak Italian." And then she
scusi sounds like you do.
And then she went to the person like next to her and just like rapid fire. I think we were in this area for half an hour. She was the most. She was on a 12. She went to 12 immediately.
I relate to this so hard.
And she was just so annoyed the whole time. Everything annoyed her. Mm. They were trying to, so there was like self, you know, when you do the self passport scan thing.
Yeah.
There were four portals. Two of them were working and two of them weren't. And so first she was like pointing at it, being like, can you believe this?
Yeah.
And then two people were working on the portals, trying to get it to work again. And every time they had to like switch out because it wasn't working, she would be so loud. And people were still going through the other portals. It was just taking a while. And then she was, and then they were working again. And then she was in a queue for one of the ones that were working again. Then it stopped working again. She couldn't believe it. And then so she moved into a different queue. And then they were letting, but the person who was in front of her in the queue that stopped working, her kids had just gotten through with like another, like her partner, I guess.
Yeah.
And so she was a mom who needed to get to her kids.
Yeah.
And so the person who was working all the booths was like, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah.
To go to your kids.
Go be with your family.
This, I have never seen anyone as angry as when this woman was being let through before the woman who was angry. So then she started yelling at the, you know, the Italian person that was working, who was also Italian, so started like yelling back at her. They're having a full-on row. Like, it was just amazing. And whilst this was happening, the alarm system kept going off. It was like the loudest. I am just the loudest. anywhere I've ever been. Mm-hmm. It was just this woman yelling. The alarm kept going off. It was absolutely amazing.
If you finished by saying that this story, if you said, and that woman was you, Sarah, I would believe you. I would fully
there
believe you.
There is no way you would be yelling like this.
Oh, I get so mad. I'm the person in those, when you're queuing for those electronic passport control things,
yeah.
I'm the person that is furious at how long it's taking. And then I'm looking at, when people can't get it to work, I'm the one going, oh, it's not that fucking hard. And then my passport never works. Yeah. Never works.
Yeah.
So I'm
because
like,
of karma.
Rolling my eyes. Fuck's sake, it's not that difficult. Just put it flat. You just need to put it flat. And then I go
Why
in.
Why are you this person?
I hate waiting.
I hate waiting.
Where does this rage
I'm so
go from?
Impatient. I'm
what
so,
is happening right now?
I'm so
surprised by this.
I have ADHD. I have ADHD, and one of the symptoms is irrational rage.
There it
and it's
is.
Just, I
there
just get so like, why are we here? Why are we still here? I want to go to the beach. I've got my armbands on already. I'm like, let me through.
I mean, I hate waiting.
You can't
waiting,
fit through the gates because your armbands are too big.
I just need to.
But
I need to do.
You can see what's happening.
I can see what's happening.
You can see what's happening.
And there's
you
no need for it to be taking this long.
I mean, to be fair, those things don't really work.
Yeah, they're shite.
They are shite. But I do think, like, I mean, you can see it. It's very clear.
But you know what's worse than them?
Does your passport
is when it's
photo...
a person.
Yeah.
When it's a person and the person spends an inordinate amount of time looking at the passport.
Yeah.
You know, you get those people, they glance, they go, yeah, that's you, hand it back. Oh, beautiful. When they look at it and it's like they're reading every detail about you.
Yeah.
What are you reading?
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
Yeah.
I'm here, ask me, I'll tell you.
Well, listen, if they ask you, that's also ridiculous. Like I just don't think I do well under pressure. So like as soon as someone like starts asking me questions, I'm like, they're going to find out. I have nothing to hide.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
I have nothing to hide, but it's like...
Mickey's not here right now.
I immediately feel like, I know, you're going to find out that, I just want to visit my family. Sometimes I go to the Netherlands, and then with my Dutch passport, and then they go, like, who are you visiting?
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean?
And you go, nobody, I got coke in my butt.
Hurry up. It's leaking through.
I'm already undressed. I'm already undressed, mooning the passport off. Just spreading my butt cheeks.
Can you pull it out?
They're like, there's nothing in there. I'm like, there has to be.
I feel like there is.
I am a criminal. Lock me up.
They're begging you to go home. They're going, there's no coke in your butt. Then why are you looking at me like that?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, fair. Traveling is hard.
It is. Well,
how long have we done?
50 minutes.
50.
We've talked for 50 minutes.
Yeah.
I want to apologize to people.
Go on.
I want to apologize for all of my stories today.
I apologize.
I think they were all rubbish.
Are you apologizing to us too?
No.
I liked the coke in the butt one, even though that one wasn't real. I liked the one that you made up.
Yeah, I like that one too. That was my favorite bit about that story about how.
Should make up more stories.
Yeah.
This is brutal. It's turned out so brutal. Okay. Anything else to say?
Nah, I think I've said everything I want to say about anything. I got everything I have to say to you guys. I've said.
Okay, well
I
we're
got
gonna
everything
move to,
off my chest and out of my
We're gonna
butt.
Move to Patreon, so you better have something left.
Oh, I got something left for Patreon.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
pretty good.
Oh
yeah.
It's juicy. It's absolutely juicy.
Well, guys,
it's not. I don't know. I'm just.
Thank you,
for,
as always, for joining us.
If you have any questions about any of the topics covered in today's episode, please email us at thankfuckforthat@gmail.com. Com?
No you in the fuck.
No you in the fuck, but a B in the com. Com. And
if you want a link to the external charger.
People keep sending lovely messages about how they like this podcast, by the way. And I am continuously shocked.
Yeah, what's wrong with you guys?
Let us know.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, comment below with what's wrong with
comment
you.
Comment below.
Tell us what's missing in your life.
What's missing in your life, and are we plugging that gap?
Yeah.
And if so...
You're welcome.
You're welcome. You're so welcome.
Oh, maybe we've just got the finger in the butt.
Maybe we've got the finger in the butt pie. Do we have our fingers in your butt pie? Right in. Thank fuck for that.
What's a butt pie, anyway?
I liked it.
What's a butt pie?
Yeah.
You're so young.
Watch One Tree Hill and it will all make sense.
Listen, it's not a thing. I made
nothing.
It up.
Oh,
where did the pie come from?
Like fingers in pies.
Oh, I thought you had you were to do finger on the pulse.
Finger on your butt.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Oh, so that's why Sarah I was thrown by the pie.
I thought it was finger in pies.
I saw what was happening and I liked it.
Thank you so much. Thank you
so much. I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
I think, guys, that we are kind of like Shakespeare because we are adding a lot of like phrases to the vernacular. You know, just two alone in this podcast. Fingers in the butt pie. lose a boat.
Find a mansion.
Find a mansion. Yeah. Other podcasts, they use phrases that Shakespeare made up.
Yeah.
But we've discarded Shakespeare.
Yes. We're Shakespeare.
We're Shakespeare.
Yeah.
We're your new...
Collectively.
I'm your new Shakespeare.
You know, when it's like Mean Girls, it's like, stop trying to make fetch happen. I feel like there's maybe a lot of people listening to this being like, stop inventing your own phrases. Mm. They are not good.
And to that, we say...
On Wednesdays. No. Listen, guys.
Listen.
We love you.
Oh, we love you.
We will be back with a guest.
We love your curves.
Okay. We will be back with a guest next week, I think.
We love all of your flaws.
No.
We think you're perfect just the way you are.
If we were Shakespeare, we'd write a sonnet.
If I was Shakespeare, I would write a sonnet. But
join us on Patreon, I'm the where new Shakespeare. Sarah will write a sonnet.
I'm the new Shakespeare, so I write beat poetry.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, all in iambic pentameter.
Iambic
pentameter, is that just 4/4?
This podcast should have ended long
ago. Okay, sorry. Guys, we love you. Thanks for listening. Oh, you'll hear us next time.
You will hear us next time.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth. It was produced by Lucas Jeffcoat with music from Ben Cavanaugh.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.